World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning.
One of those nights. Where are the Eagles when I need them? One of those nights. No, it's one of these nights, wasn't it? One of these nights. I had one of those nights last night. Michelle, just before I love my wife so much. Just before I fell asleep in bed, she told me something that I wish she hadn't told me. And then my mind. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. When this stuff is so real. This stuff is so real. Michelle was just sharing with me an experience of the day that she had had. And I'm telling you, I felt the demonic roll in like a freight train. Even as I was laying my head down trying to go to sleep, that thing that she spoke that awakened something. Do you notice how you ever lay your head down in bed at night and you're thinking about stuff and you think, why the heck am I thinking about this? I want to quit thinking about this. Lord, help me quit thinking about this so I can go to sleep. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I'm telling you, I almost physically felt that thing right in out of Michelle's mouth last night. And it tormented me all night. Even though we prayed before we fell asleep and, you know, took authority over, you know, our sleep and all that. I'm telling you, man, it's so real. And someday we're going to understand it. We don't, right now we see through a veil dimly. We don't get it. As much as we like to say that we do, we don't really get it. The spiritual war that's going on around us. And, So I got some great stuff to share with you today. Some real enlightening stuff. And I always have to say this. I'm not a cemetery trained guy. I'm not. But I pick up the Bible and I read it. And I think. And I ask the Holy Spirit, what does this mean, Lord? What does this mean? And so when you come here, I want you to know that I'm coming out of a pure heart. You don't have to agree with me. This is, I like to say, this is what the Lord showed me. What do you think? And then you don't even have to agree. But if you don't agree, I'll yell at you. Not really. I won't yell at you. I want to thank Ohio Brett. They went and did a couple honking waves yesterday. They did one in Granville, Ohio, which, oh my goodness, I can't imagine anybody doing anything conservative Christian in Granville, Ohio, but they did. They showed up out there and did it. And then they went to Lancaster, Ohio, and they did it. It's just unbelievable. Folks that are showing up and doing it with him. And then I didn't get to talk to him about, he went to Waverly, Ohio after that and did a honking way. Well, I think he maybe met with Reggie down there, met with whatever. Keep after it, Brett. God bless you, man. I appreciate it.
God bless you, Coach. It was a great day. God was there. And then in Pike County, we met with the sheriff, and his Major Fletcher came out. And then Reggie was amazing. But the whole day was amazing, Coach.
Yeah. And so we just got to encourage other people to get involved. Randy, you won't believe this. Yes, you will. Is Liberty Mel in here today? Because we're working really hard behind the scenes to try to put some type of, I don't want to use the term patriot because that word doesn't mean anything to me. And I don't even really want to use I don't even like to use any of the words they want us to use. But I'm telling you, the Lord is really putting something together, folks. Really, really putting something together.
I'm here. I kind of logged on a little bit late, but yeah, I think it's God and country. I'm not sure what that name's going to be, right. But we have to put God first. I think that was the mistake the Tea Party made, was that they were afraid to get close to the social issues, and yep. Everybody was a Christian, but I think we have to lead with God.
I do.
And, I think all these groups and, you know, people are doing a lot of really good things, but it's all in silos. So, my heart would be to, you know, kind of bring, you know, these great groups together and these great not just groups, but individuals like, you know, Ohio Bread and, you know, Mark Harrington at Created Equal. And like, there's a lot of great people doing a lot of great things, but we're all working individually, which is very inefficient. So if we could create a way to talk.
You sent me an email yesterday. I looked at it again this morning. Liberty Mel, who's networking here in Ohio. This is just Ohio. Sorry for those of you who aren't here in Ohio. But we're trying to get organized here in Ohio, trying to put groups together, right? And so Liberty Mel knows a lady named Kirsten, who's Mel said, hey, everybody send me the name of anybody that you know of that's leading some type of patriot group or whatever. Please send me their contact. Well, I got a couple, three, four, I might get four names and some other guy. Kirsten sent her a list of 48 names of different organizations that she knows are active in the state of Ohio. And you know what the amazing thing was? I wasn't on that list. Kirsten didn't even know who the heck I was. Isn't that something? I mean, I'm not patting myself on the back saying, how can she not know me? That's not my point. How many more are there that we don't even know? That we don't even know. Yes. We made some connections last night, and God is really, really doing something here, folks. I was thinking down there in St. Clairsville, do they have Bob on their list? Do they have Kelly Conway on their list? Do they have Uncle Don on it? No, they don't. You folks say, who are you talking about? Well, it's because it's people that I know, right? And we all know people who are trying to do things, and ain't nobody doing them together. As Mel just said, we're in silos. Silos, meaning you're working really, really hard just in your little area. Hey, there's a silo. And so you're working really, really hard in your little silo, standing straight up and down, and you don't impact anybody but what's right in here. We're trying to build our own towers to heaven, and it ain't working very good when there are others out there. There's another silo right beside us, and we don't even know it. We got to get smarter here.
Silos echo and echo.
Echo, yes, sir. So I believe the Lord is doing something unbelievable. So I wanted to throw that out there. I know,
Coach, before you close that down, Liberty Mel, it was great working with you and continuing. And Emma did another great job, Coach.
Emma showed up again.
What you're doing on this team, as a strong safety, I'm just one man, but you already know, Coach. You already got people across the country, now across the world in South Africa, but the team is organizing.
It's getting ready to explode, by the way. And while I'm thinking about that, on the Thursday on the after show, listen now, Jared is making a video in the after show, and it's going to be a video showing you how to do your own video conference. So if you'll stay in here, on Thursday in the after show, he'll explain to you how you can do it. He'll give you, go here, punch this, poke this, do this, bang this, and then you're up and running so that you'll be totally in control of it. And remember, you're not doing a show like this, all right? You're doing a video conference with 6 people, 8 people, 10 people, and it'll continue to grow. You don't have to be an expert. You get together, get to know each other, talk about the issues of the day, and these little things are going to pop up all over where, I'm just telling you, I feel the unction of the Lord so strong on what's taking place here. So be encouraged by that. Thursday, we're going to – well, I got so much stuff. I was up at 4:15.
Coach?
Yes.
Before you move on, you know, I just think God's giving a lot of people the same idea. And I think that's how you know that it's God, because, you know, I have this idea, and then I come to find out other people have the same idea. And I'm like, you know, God's just helping us move.
Amen.
And you were saying that you have 4 or 5 people on your list. Coach, a lot of people in this call in the morning, I mean, they're leaders. You've got Jeff up in the garage, like he's a leader. And yep. I mean, you don't have to think of like the traditional, okay, do you have a group of 10,000 people? Like, you know, we need, you know, Pastor Bill, you know, I think there are, you know, leaders in churches. Not every church is a leader, but,
right.
But I mean, I think there's social issue leaders,
right.
You know, like Mark Harrington. So I just think that we need to broaden our mind to like who really are the leaders. Mm-hmm. But if we can engage the leaders, and then the leaders then engage their groups, like it could be massive. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out.
I'm with you. So let me make, I've explained this about 10 different times, but I'm going to explain it to the folks who are watching today. To me, this is really, really critical. And I'm sorry if it's, folks, listen, a lot of the things that we talk about here, Some of you will say, well, we already talked about that. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. I'm telling you, there are new people joining every day, okay? So bear with me if I have to go back and make a point that you said, well, you already told us that, okay? Just bear with me because not everybody's there, okay? Not everybody's there. So here's what happened with the conservative movement. Back in the Tea Party days, y'all remember that, right? I was part of the Tea Party, but I wasn't actively involved with it. I didn't want to do anything with the Tea Party. But they would love to have me come and speak at the Tea Party, the Tea Parties. And I come and, you know, I can tell a story about a dog that'll make a cat cry. The Lord's gifted me to be able to do that. So I'm a good motivational speaker. I understand my gift. But I would get calls from people in the Tea Party. This is what, 2010, 12, what's up? I can't even, it was a while ago. And they would always say, Coach, we hear you got a good message. Love for you to come. But can you back off on the God stuff a little bit? Well, not everybody in our group is blah, blah, blah. So I saw back then that there were the what we call the fiscal conservatives, the people that are worried about their Social Security and their retirements and government spending, and they couldn't give a hoot about abortion or gay marriage. They called themselves libertarians, right? And I said, well, you know, I'm over here and I'm a libertarian, but I'm a Christian libertarian. And I'm not, I'll be daggone if I'm going to worry about your retirement if you won't worry about an unborn baby. And if we can come to an agreement where you'll want to save unborn babies and I want to save your retirement, then we'll be on the same page. That'll be good. But see, a lot of people who are not Christian libertarians. They don't want anything to do with the gospel. Yeah, are you guys with me? You understand what I'm saying? And so they're trying to get us to, Bible says, can two walk together lest they agree? I can't agree with them. I cannot agree with them that killing a baby is okay. So if you want to work together with me, as much as you call yourself a conservative, if you're for killing babies, we cannot walk together. Okay, but we can't. That's what we have to do on this movement now, is make sure at the center of all of it stands Jesus Christ, that all of our rights, all of our conservative values, everything that made America great again, goes back to Jesus. Goes back to Christianity, goes back to the values of Christianity. We can no longer put Christianity on the shelf and expect America to be saved. It is not going to work. And I watched that conservative political action, whatever that thing is, CPAC. And I'm going to tell you, are you looking at me? They didn't mention Jesus. Conservatism, pretend salt. That's all it is. Conservatism. Folks, God ain't putting on a conservative jersey. He ain't gonna do it. And so we have to help people understand that conservatism is Christian. That's what it is. Okay? So this is important for us. It's important as we move forward. And I'm going to say publicly that I'm not going to lock arms with somebody who is not with me as far as the importance of the gospel. I don't care if you're saved. That's between you and the Lord. I don't care. I don't even care if you go to church. But if you come and you want me to lock arms with you and you have... and you're for homosexuality, you're for gay marriage, you're for aborting little babies, you're for if you're for all this devil stuff, I don't care how conservative you call yourself and how libertarian you call yourself, I cannot walk with you, brother. I'm sorry, I can't. And I'm not going to lower that standard. And I think we all have to be at that same point. If I invited somebody in to speak right now, then I'm going to get off track. And I got something I got to get down to here really, really quickly. Okay. But I'm going to take a risk. No, I'm not. Anybody have anything important I need to cover? You can go to the schedule and see it's everything that's going on. It's all at our schedule. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of good stuff going on, awakening people, the Lord's doing something. So I never finished the story. So Liberty Mel sends me a list. This one lady, Kirsten, had a list of, I think it was 48 groups. Oh, I said, I'm losing my mind. And I went on the list. I think, how can they not know who I am? And I'm reading down that list of 48 people, and I don't know any of them. I said, how can this be? And Kirsten lives up in Cuyahoga County, up at Cleveland. I don't know if you know Ohio. Cleveland's clear up the top, and Dayton's clear down at the bottom. And Kirsten in Cleveland's got a big group of list of people I don't know. And then Candace down here got a list of people that I don't even know. And I don't even know if they know each other. And none of them know me. Does any wonder we'd lose? Come on, man. We got to get better. So listen, here's, by the way, quickly, Tony Spell. Did you guys pull that up there real quick for me, Spencer? God bless Pastor Tony Spell. Did you guys see what happened to him? I got a text from him this morning. Dale's buddying him up real good with him. Pastor Tony showed up in court yesterday. You know what the court did? Dropped all the charges if he'll just plead guilty to this one. Drop them all if you just plead guilty to this one. You know what Tony said to me this morning? I'll read what Pastor Tony, we'll get him on here, okay? We'll get him back on here. Here's what Pastor Tony said to me. He said, Coach, Moses never took a deal from Pharaoh. Amen. So Pastor Tony said, I ain't taking the deal. I'll see you in court.
Hey, Coach.
So the enemy blinked, baby. The enemy blinked. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, he just said to you, that's what I shared with him yesterday. I shared with him the story. Remember Flip Benham would preach on the Faustian deal where Moses got down to just let the animals come out there. You know, you keep all your children or just keep your animals back here. That's what I told him yesterday that brought revelation. And he said, and we're going to sue you for $5
million. Amen. Sue him for $10 million. That's what I say, right? No deals with the devil, because it had been really easy. They'd called it some type of trespassing or violating some code, right? Just a little bit guilty. Hey, throw us a bone here, Pastor Tony. Won't you plead something a little bit guilty so all the world will know that Caesar was right? Tony said, I ain't doing that. Sorry, ain't doing that. I'll see you in court. Amen. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, what a connection. See, that's what God's doing. You know, you keep saying this, but we need to keep understanding that we are specific. We connected with Tony, and I'm telling you, I watched the Holy Spirit touch him the very beginning of our meeting, and he felt the connection. And now God picked him to stand up, and we just held his arms up. That's what we're doing, Coach.
Randy, you know what I texted back to Tony this morning? He said, Pharaoh never took a deal. I said, amen, brother. I believe the enemy just blinked. Ready, folks. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what the Bible says, right? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You got to stand up and give the Lord a chance to do his thing, man. Something good's going on.
Coach, yeah. What I was going to say, too, is the difference between inalienable rights and then just rights according to the Constitution, that supersedes the Constitution. That's why Jesus is head. That's why we're carrying the cross. It isn't a tea party, and that's what God is going to do with this movement. He's going to put Christ at the top, and then everything else will come in under that. And we have to keep that going.
Amen. Randy, good jumping off point for where I'm going to go. Folks, this is going to be one of those shows I'm going to do most of talking. Is that okay, Steve Deck, if I do most of talking today? Okay, because it's imperative that I try to make this point, okay? Where do I want to start? Okay, here's the question. I really, really, really believe this, okay? If you go to the app, you just sit there and don't say anything, okay? You sitting down, don't say anything. If I were to come and ask you right now, what is the gospel? And you were going to make a list. You don't have to make the list. I want you to think right now. If somebody came up and they put a microphone in your face, says, what's the gospel? What would you say? Because until we get that right, we ain't going to get it right. And unfortunately, the gospel means so many different things. So if you'll bear with me here, I'm going to play three, maybe four videos of guys explaining to us the gospel. And after each one, you tell me if you think they're right. Okay, let's go to the first one. Let's pull up, I think this is the right one. Pull up the American Gospel video. It's 3 minutes. Oh, I know what this is. By the way, we just posted this. This is a new movie, okay? This is a new movie. It's, the first hour of the movie is free, and I just posted it at our website. This is what spurred me this morning. So this is I just want us to play 3 minutes of it, okay? That's what I want us to do, Spencer. So the first 3 minutes of this is just a trailer. But this, the American gospel, we don't even know what that is. So go ahead and put this at about 1.5, and let's just watch a couple minutes of this. So this is what spurred me today, the American gospel. And as you watch this, ask yourself, what is the gospel? Go ahead and play that. This video again is on our website.
I was raised as a very devout Muslim in the United States. And the fact of the matter was, every time I connected with a Christian, I realized that they didn't know why they believed what they believed. The Christians who were around me wouldn't share the gospel with me, and I never realized why. I concluded either they didn't believe the gospel was true, or if they did believe it, they didn't care if I went to hell.
It is a pain to know that there are people who do not know Jesus. It is a greater pain to know that oftentimes Jesus and Christianity is being distorted.
Who told you can't accomplish your dreams?
I think around the world, they know the phrase, the American dream.
Your destiny is calling out. It's time to start living large.
We are exporting the very worst of what Christianity has to offer.
I declare you debt-free today, saith God.
So that many people harden their heart against a Jesus, a Christ, a Christianity that is not the true version of it.
It's as easy to get healed as it is to get forgiven.
I live in Texas. We are considered the buckle on the Bible Belt. Around here, everybody thinks they're Christian simply because they live in a conservative region of the nation.
You can grow up in the church, hear a gospel about freedom, and still work your tail off trying to maintain the image that you're a good person.
I had my Jesus on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights at youth group, and the rest of the week, I was chasing after worldly things that made me happy.
And I saw nothing to like about God.
You have an increasing number of people that were raised in churches that didn't take the gospel seriously or took it for granted.
Wow, like Jesus died for my sins? That's so convenient for me. I don't have to go to hell, but I'm going to go do my own thing.
And surprise, surprise, they don't know what they believe or why they believe it.
We're assuming that people understand the gospel.
I think it was Christian Smith who said that what we're seeing nowadays in the American church is the rise of what he calls moralistic, therapeutic deism. How to make people moral.
Wow! You know, I look like this perfect golden child, but I was so dead.
A place to go to feel better about themselves.
I'm asking you to feel good about who you are.
And so as a result, we're seeing a church in America that's becoming ultimately Christless.
So if we're following the gospel thinking it's all about us, we've missed Jesus' words entirely.
The fact that we were raised Christian doesn't make us a Christian. We have to have a supernatural rebirth.
I went from somebody who hated Jesus to a guy that loved Jesus and spent all his time at church. Why?
When you come in contact with him, you change.
Like, there's nothing that I could have done to make this happen. Like, he literally gave me a new heart.
And when the heart changes, everything changes.
If this is true, this story is so captivating. All I knew is that I had severely overlooked something.
I opened that word, and nothing was ever the same.
Okay, that's 3 minutes. I'm sorry I played it so fast, but I got a lot of stuff I want to share with you. So the first hour of this documentary is now posted at CoachDaveLive.com. If you get a chance later on today, watch it, because I think this is why we're struggling. We don't know what the gospel is, right? We don't know. So I said, well, gee, Coach, what is the gospel? So I went to John Piper. You guys know who John Piper is? Okay. Now, John Piper, he's going to give us about 3 minutes here, I think this video is, and play all these at time and a half. Folks, you can go back and slow down at one, two later on. I'm sorry, giving Spencer a chance to catch up here. This is John Piper. Okay, we're going to listen to this. And then at the end, I'm going to ask you a question. It's 3 minutes and 32 seconds. Pastor John Piper is going to explain the gospel to us. Go ahead.
Here are the six things that I think are essential. The gospel is a plan from eternity. And I say that because when Paul articulated the gospel, he said, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, which means something before signified this is a plan. God set it up before it happened. That's number one. Number two is the gospel is an event in history. Christ died. Number three, the gospel is an achievement in and through that event of something that happened between the Son and the Father. Namely, sins were paid for and righteousness was completed. This was an obedience unto death, and therefore a perfect obedience was achieved, and a perfect guilt offering was paid. So that's number three, an achievement. Number four is that is extended in an offer to the world that is free. If the offer were not free, there would be no gospel. If it were by works instead of by faith, there would be no gospel. So there's a plan, there's an event, there is an achievement in that event, and then there's the free offer to faith alone, and then comes what we call application of the achievement. To me, they're not the same. God did something in history for me before I have any taste of it, but now by faith I am forgiven, and now by faith I am justified, and that's an essential part of the gospel. If those things don't happen to me, there's no good news at all. So there's the application of the achievement. That's where we usually stop. This is my concern, my own personal concern about the fullness, and I think the Gospel Coalition gets this, understands this. If we stop at forgiveness, just take forgiveness. If we stop at forgiveness and say to the world, we have good news for you. God made a plan. God sent his son. Christ died. Your forgiveness was achieved. It's offered freely. Take it by faith. Yes, you have it. And we stop, which we often do. Something's missing, because I want to say, so what, forgiven? And a lot of people might answer, well, I don't like a guilty conscience, or I don't like going to hell, or my family might be better if I could live as a forgiven person instead of a guilty person. Instead of saying, 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered once the righteous for the unrighteous to bring us to God. The sixth piece of the gospel that I think is absolutely essential is that we're forgiven and we're justified to bring us to God. God is our treasure. God is the end. My forgiveness is not the end. My justification is not the end. My going to heaven and not having a sick body anymore is not the end. All of that is means. Means to what? Seeing him, knowing him, loving him, being satisfied in him, and him being more glorified in me because I'm now eternally satisfied in him.
Okay, stop right there. Stop right there. Sounds good. Is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? Now, I'd say this. It's part of it. But everything I heard John Piper talk about was you. You, Christ died for you to forgive your sins. You, applying it. You. He misses the whole thing. That's why John Piper is one of the leaders of what they call the social gospel, right? That's what I hear some of it try to get in. Hang on with me a second. I got to make this point. Look, I'm going to give you the gospel. And I'm going to show you another video here. Okay, here's the gospel. Seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. Okay, so Adam and Eve fell. And the devil, the accuser of the brethren, went to God and said, hey, God, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about Adam and Eve? You say you're just and you're holy, and you said that the wages of sin is death. Well, they did it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And Lord, who is a man of his word and righteous, he said, gee, what am I going to do? Well, he had a plan. We can say he had a plan. Doesn't matter. He said, the soul that sins, it must die. He says there has to be a perfect sacrifice. And it was goats and lambs and bulls and all that stuff all the way through. And he said, no, I'm going to do something better. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to reconcile. I'm going to pay this sin debt. Because Adam and Eve, the devil was right for once. The devil said to Adam and Eve, when they sinned, the devil said to the Lord, they got to die. You're the one that made the rules, buddy. You're the one that made the rules. And he said, no, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my boy. And I'm going to send my boy, and I'm going to let my boy pay that sin death. When my boy pays that sin death, I am a righteous judge. The price was paid in full. The world is now reconciled to me as God. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifested. He would annihilate the works of the devil. And so the devil's works were destroyed when Jesus Christ came with his kingdom. And now the battle is over the souls of men. And who is going to be king and rule and reign in our hearts? And not only in our hearts, but thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus put his son on the cross to pay a price because he's just. And he's righteous, and he paid it in full. And now, once again, man was on good standing with the Lord. Am I making it up here? See, the Lord didn't die to make me happy. He didn't die to make me rich. He died to put me on equal standing again, that burden of sin was no longer on me, okay? Now there was a way to get behind it. And when Jesus came, they called it a new covenant. A new covenant came. And thy kingdom come. Jesus talked about the kingdom. John the Baptist spoke about the kingdom. The kingdom. John Piper ain't got any idea about the kingdom. I know some of you want to get in it. You got to bear with me a second. I got to show you another one. Let me see. Go to Ravi Zacharias. And I don't want to talk about Ravi Zacharias and what the, you know, he was a carnal man. He just got trapped. It's unbelievable. I don't even want to go there. But put him at 1.5, and I want you to listen and see how much Ravi Zacharias says the words you, me, us in his explanation of the gospel. Folks, we've made the gospel all about us. Go ahead and play it.
You know, C.S. Lewis talks about the horror of the same old thing. And then he goes on in a Screwtape letter as to have the senior devil instructing the junior devil. He says they'll work on their horror of the same old thing, because the horror of the same old thing is the greatest passion we have put into the human heart. What he means by that is when people get accustomed to hearing about something, and oh yeah, I've been there, done that, heard it before, there's a resistance towards it. And I think that's what's happened with the gospel. So much of it went into the popular media. It was made into a come here, solve all your problems. It was thrown in along with the self-help worldview and so on. And it became, I think, cheapened and somehow diluted, if not polluted. And so an average person, who if you ask them, what do you think the gospel is? Oh, they'll say, you know, it's the same old thing. You're a sinner. You're heading to hell. You know, you need help and God will help you. This is the image an average young people would give to you. That's the way they think about it. But the fact of the matter is the gospel, talking about it literally means the good news. It is the good news of God. And what is the good news? Every young person knows life is actually completely empty. No matter what you do, no matter how you pursue it, no matter which direction you go, you come away empty-handed. Just recently, I was watching a documentary
on the life of Kurt Cobain,
who committed suicide at the age of 26.
Don't miss where Ravi Zacharias has taken us, see? Jesus died on the cross because you have an empty space inside you that only he can fill. Well, that sounds good, but that ain't the gospel, okay? That isn't the gospel. Keep going.
He'd been there, done that, done everything, and his last album he wanted to call I Want to Die. That's precisely what the gospel addresses. It addresses the fact that the human heart in its own pursuit will end up empty and lonely and destitute. And that destitute situation comes from being in a situation where in this body and in your mind, life does not ultimately bring you satisfaction. Why? Because it is violating the very purpose for which God...
And life doesn't bring you satisfaction. Come to Jesus and you'll have satisfaction. Get him off the screen. Get him off the screen, right? So that's why people, see, we're selling the wrong thing. We're selling the wrong thing. We're selling the wrong thing. We are preaching another gospel. We're preaching part of the gospel. In fact, we were warned. Was it Paul who warned us about those who were going to come with a different gospel? Yes or no? Did we hear that or did we not hear that? And we're looking at some of these great preachers in America, I'm telling you, they're selling us a different gospel. Hang on. R.C. Sproul, pull him up there. He just died. And I don't agree. He doesn't care. I don't agree with everything he says. But you can. This is only 2 minutes. You can play this thing at play to 1.25 if you want to, or normal. Because he gets close to it here. He gets close to it. 2 minutes and 21 seconds. This is 15 years old, probably. Go ahead and play it.
Sometimes when I look at the state of the church today, I'm concerned about many things, but my deepest concern is with the gospel itself. I'm really afraid that we're in a time where the gospel is in eclipse, because everything but the gospel is called the gospel. Again, in the 16th century, the heart of the Reformation, Luther warned his contemporaries. He said, anytime the gospel is preached clearly and boldly, it will produce conflict, and people don't like conflict. And so, as a result, they will change the gospel, water it down, or try to take away its offense. And so instead of preaching the gospel, which has to do with the person and work of Jesus Christ, it focuses on Christ and on his work. Instead, we tell people, here's the gospel. I preached the gospel today. I told people, come to Jesus and all of your problems will be over. Come to Jesus and find happiness in your life. Well, I believe it's true that the source of happiness is Jesus. But that's not the gospel. Those incentives. And I hear preachers saying, God loves you unconditionally. And I say, whoa, what does that person in the pew hear? When they hear somebody say God loves them unconditionally, that means he loves me just exactly as I am and precisely he's glad I turned out nicely. It's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And he's saying, I don't have to repent. I don't have to come to Christ. I don't have to be convicted by the law of God. You know, the law of God is perfect, the Bible says, and converts the soul. That is, the conversion is not by the law itself, but by the word of God, because his word is law. That's the way the language of the Old Testament functions. But we hide the law. And where there's no law, there's no awareness of any need of the gospel. We tell people they don't need to repent because God loves them just the way they are. And the only reason to come to Jesus is to have greater peace or greater happiness or a better trip than they'll get from drugs. That's not the gospel at all.
That's not the gospel, R.C. That ain't the gospel. Hey, stay with me. I know some of you want to get in there. Stay with me. I'm almost done. Go down there to Apologia. Jeff Durbin, Apologia. Because listen, folks, he gets closest to it here. The good news of the kingdom of God. Jeff Durbin, Apologia. Go ahead and listen to him. Put him at 1.25 if you want to. Let's listen to what he says.
So, the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. If you read 1 Corinthians 15, Paul gives the message of the gospel, what Christ has done, the good news of Christ dying and being buried and raising from the dead according to the scriptures. But then he continues to describe in that text the story of the rule of Christ. He says from Psalm 110:1 that he must reign until he's put all his enemies under his feet, until they've all been made a footstool for his feet. And so that is the good news of the kingdom, this rule of the Messiah that's coming into the world, where God is going to put the world right again. In Isaiah chapter 2, there's the story of the nations streaming up to the mountain of God. Isaiah 9, the promises that El Gibor was coming, the father of eternity. There would be an increase of his government and of peace, and there would be no end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts would accomplish this. There was this good news that the Messiah was coming, yes, for salvation and forgiveness. Psalm 22, that all the families of the earth would return to worship God. But the good news was that he was going to come to rule on the throne of David, that he was going to come to fulfill that promise to Abraham, that Abraham would have descendants as numerous as the stars, that the whole world belongs to this Messiah, that he would come to do what Adam failed to do, what Israel failed to do, to bring the salvation, redemption, reconciliation, and peace with God to the ends of the earth. I mean, just think for a moment about Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Daniel gets this vision, and he sees in the night visions one like a son of man, and he says that he comes up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will never be destroyed. And so when Jesus comes in Matthew chapter 4, it says that he comes proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And it's really amazing if you think about the Great Commission passage, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And he says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And he says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so really the good news of the kingdom isn't just that people go to heaven one day, but it ultimately is good news that God has come to rule in this world, to bring about redemption and salvation, to put the world right again. And that is good news, the good news of the kingdom.
See, the kingdom showed up when Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. You now have the ability to choose good or bad. You have that ability now because of a kingdom principle that Jesus reconciling the world unto himself. Click on the email. It's a standalone email. Sorry, folks. I got to get this in there. Spencer, the standalone email that just says kingdom. It just says kingdom. It's all it says on it. Okay, here's the Bible's answer. I could have Joe read this. Maybe you would understand if I wasn't screaming and hollering, pumping my fists. This is so real to me. See, we've taken the people won't fight for the gospel because they don't understand it's a kingdom principle. It's not a you principle. It's not a you going to heaven principle. It's not a you going to hell principle. It's a kingdom principle. It's advancing the kingdom of the government and peace. There shall be no end. It's a kingdom principle. And we tell everybody the devil's in control. The devil's in control. No, he isn't. No, he isn't in control. He's only in control because we're taking the gospel simply to satisfy ourselves. Bigger house, no problems, nice car, lovely wife. You can have it too. He'll be your best friend. It's all wrong. Well, not wrong, but just part of it. It's just part of it. We are preaching a self-centered gospel. Joe, can you read? Are you ready to read, Joe? No. Hey,
yes, sir.
I'm going to speed you up a little bit. Okay. I'm going to put you on 1.5. But read that. Hey, Joe.
Yes,
just
sir.
Go down there. Let me do this. I'm going to turn it over to you. God's kingdom is a real government established by Jehovah God. It's a real government, folks. The kingdom of God is also called the kingdom of heaven in the Bible, since it rules from heaven. It shares many attributes of human governments, yet it is superior to all of them. So, Joe, what are some traits of a kingdom? Go ahead, Joe. What's the first trait?
Rulers.
Kingdoms have rulers.
God has appointed Jesus Christ as king of the kingdom and has given him more authority than any human ruler could ever have. Jesus uses this power only for good, since he has already proved to be a reliable and compassionate leader.
Wow.
Under God's direction, Jesus has selected persons
from all nations. Yes.
Who will rule as kings over the earth with him in heaven.
How long does this last, Joe, this kingdom, this duration?
The duration. Unlike human governments, which come and go, God's kingdom will never be brought to ruin.
How about that? Well, who are the subjects in this kingdom, Joe?
The subjects. Anyone who does what God requires can be a subject of God's kingdom without regard for ancestry or birthplace.
Wow. Well, are there any laws in this kingdom, Joe?
Yes. The laws or commandments of God's kingdom do more than just prohibit wrong behavior. They raise the moral character of its subjects. For example, the Bible says you must love Jehovah your God with your whole heart and with your whole soul and with your whole mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second, like it, is this: you must love your neighbor as yourself. Love of God and neighbor moves subjects of the kingdom to act in the best interests of others.
Is there any education going on in the kingdom?
Education. While God's kingdom sets high standards for its subjects, it also teaches people how to meet those standards.
Well, is there a mission, Joe? Once I become a Christian and get in this kingdom, this gospel kingdom, is there any mission?
The mission: the kingdom of God doesn't enrich its rulers at the expense of its subjects. Instead, it will accomplish God's will, including the promise that those who love him will live forever on a paradise earth.
Huh. You mean he didn't come just to be my best friend, to be Mr. Rogers and sit beside me and hold my hand through tough times? No. He came to establish a kingdom. And I hate to tell you this, when Jesus showed up on the scene, the kingdom came. Randy, the kingdom came. The kingdom is within you. The kingdom of God has already come, folks. Now, the coming kingdom, we understand, right? The new Jerusalem descending 1,000 years. We get all that. But folks, we don't teach people that the kingdom of God rules and reigns in your heart. It rules and reigns in your heart. And then it flows out of your heart into those around you and impacts everything. Are we teaching the kingdom of God? No, in fact, we're teaching evacuation. He sent us here to occupy, and we're teaching evacuation. Now, I'm going to shut up. I could go long, but I'll shut up for a minute. It's been 42 minutes. Anybody think I'm a heretic? Come on in, Jeff. I'm just reading the Bible. I'm just reading what the Bible says.
Coach, outstanding. Yeah. Outstanding. I am so impressed. Thank you so much for bringing this about. You fill in some areas that I'm weak in. Thank you so much.
Holy Spirit, man. It's the Holy Spirit. Thy kingdom come. He's the one who prayed, thy kingdom come. It wasn't me. It wasn't Larry. Jesus said, thy kingdom come. Where? Where, Randy? On earth. On earth. As it is in heaven. So the kingdom's already established up there. And when Jesus came, he destroyed the works of the devil. The dominion of the devil was destroyed at the cross. There's a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is within. I can't wait for the rapture to get out of here. I want to hang around. Come on in, Clay. Come on in, Clay.
All right, Coach. Yeah, think. See what you think about this. The gospel is a message of truth from God to humans. It is a message of truth. And
what is that truth?
It's not necessarily good news.
What is the truth? What's that truth, Clay? I'm going to tell you what that truth is. That God rules. God rules on the hearts of men.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's right. And he opened up, and when Jesus died, he opened up a direct path. You don't have to have a priest to intercede for you. You've got a direct communication with God. And everybody can receive the kingdom of heaven without having to go through priests and stand behind curtains and pray to idols and all that kind of stuff.
That's not what your Baptist preacher's teaching you, Clay. That's not what he's teaching you. That's not what your Presbyterian woman pastor's teaching you.
And the reason Jesus had to bring that message, and the reason it was set up that way, the way I feel about it, they had prophecies. Now, if you turn on the TV right now and you listen to Fox News, you're not going to necessarily believe what they're telling you. So,
God, Clay, that's because those two kingdoms are still in conflict in the hearts of men. The kingdom of God is here for whoever will enter into it. It is already here, but you have to make the decision. See, the devil is no longer in control. That's not what they're teaching us in our churches. Sorry, don't mean to cut you off, Clay. Come on in, Silver, then Dale and Randy.
All right. Let me finish that up real quick, Coach.
Okay, go ahead.
So what God had to do was he had to send his message directly from the horse's mouth. So he had to fulfill those prophecies. And the only person that could do that was God, and then he sent his son to send us that message of truth so it would be undeniable.
The prophecies were simply evidence. It's just evidence that the kingdom has come. That's all it was. It was just a signpost. That's all a prophecy was. Just a signpost. Hey, you're on the right way. You're going the right way. Hey, honey, check our map here. Check, will you? Google it. Are we on the right way? Yep, you're heading the right way. Yep, that's all prophecy is. You're heading the right way. You're heading the right way. Where? Kingdom's coming. Kingdom's coming. In fact, it's here. In fact, if we look around, he's establishing his kingdom everywhere. I don't care if you think I'm a heretic. I'm sorry. That's what the Bible says. Come on in, Silver.
I was going to say that one of the things that, and I'm in kind of like an argument with somebody on Facebook about, is he's presupposing some things concerning original sin. And, you know, one of the questions that comes up is, well, why didn't Adam and Eve get wiped out when they sinned? They did. Okay.
They got thrown out of the kingdom. They got thrown out of the kingdom.
They got thrown out of Eden. Okay. And they died within 1,000 years, which is considered a day.
Because he's
the
just,
Lord's time.
He's just, isn't he?
And he's just.
So he said, the soul that sins, it will die. You know what the good news is? I don't have to die anymore. Why? Because 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of Man manifests, that he might annihilate, destroy the works of the devil. I don't have to die anymore. I'm going to die physically. I'm going to die that. I'm going to live forever. Why? Because I'm already in a kingdom, man. I'm already there. Come on in, Dale. Then Randy. Then,
I don't want to take a lot of time, Coach, but I just want to bring an analogy. You know, visuals really help. You ever go to a restaurant and you'll remember there's a point in your life where you've eaten a steak and it was the best steak you've ever eaten. Brother, that was the best steak that I've ever eaten when it come to the Word of God, the splitting, because the kingdom is here. The kingdom is already here.
It's within.
Brother, the rapture, the evacuation notice is that we want to go into God's kingdom, but we still want to rule the reign the way we want to rule and reign. Keith Tusey put this out. It wasn't the Band of Brothers, but he was at a big event. And what you just said, I'm like, man, have you been talking with Keith Tusey? Because Keith Tusey rebuked the pastor. And he said, have you read the words that your worship team is singing? He goes, it's all about me. It's all about you. And it's nothing about him.
Look how big Joel Osteen's church is. Why? Because it's all about you. It's all about you.
The kingdom is about him. And tucked away in that 1 John chapter 3. It was manifested for this purpose, to destroy the works of the darkness. When Jesus was on the cross, you were not on his mind. I was not on his mind.
Amen, baby. Amen to that one. Yeah, that old song. Yeah, when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. Makes us feel good. What a freaking lie. Come on in, Randy. Then Rochelle, then Roger.
Coach, I changed my theology a long time ago when I realized that it was telling me the kingdom was future, and we were waiting to go to heaven. That's the kingdom was all about heaven. That's wrong, Coach. So what you're bringing out here is exactly what Psalm 110 said. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies your footstool. I think, as far as I know, Jesus is sitting at the Father's right hand right now. And that's happening. He's not sitting there waiting to reign. He is the king.
Yes.
He is reigning. And Coach, when I realized that heaven and earth is, heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool. You can't, they're together. I mean, they're together. You can't throw out the earth. And that theology that throws it out and puts it all in the future, I'm telling you, you have to run from that to see this revelation. You have
Amen.
To run from that. Thank
Folks,
you.
The kingdom of God is within you, friends. It rules and reigns in your heart. And out of your heart, we're supposed to establish his kingdom. And the government shall be, what's the government? What is the government? Well, it's the control, the area of control in which the legal authorities have responsibility. And so the government shall be upon his shoulders. Well, what are his shoulders? Well, his shoulders is the beginning of the body. Well, what is the body of Christ? It's us. We're the body of Christ. The government is upon our shoulders. Why? Because we have those kingdom principles. Go back to those, what was it? Those characteristics that Joe read. Go back to those real quick. Come on, man, open your eyes. What? There are rulers who are ruling forever. Human God, his kingdom will never end. There are subjects who are under it. There are laws that keep it operating. There's education where you're trained how to operate in the kingdom. And there's the mission. And what's the mission? To expand the kingdom. Why? Till all of his enemies are his footstool, under his feet become his footstool. Oh, my Lord, help us see. Rochelle, come on, and then Roger. God, this is
good. Good morning. In Genesis, it's Jesus. God says that if you eat of this fruit, when he says what's translated to us as surely die, in Hebrew, it's actually you will die. So
die twice.
Yeah. So you have a physical death, a spiritual death is kind of how I see it. Amen. So the good news or your gospel is really our way back to salvation with our Creator. And in the meantime, I did a study on this because it is really confusing. But the people who preach the good news are right now known as the kingdom of heaven. We, the people who believe in God and preach his word, are the kingdom of heaven. And we're known as that until Jesus opens the scroll and comes back for us, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will employ us.
All of his enemies will be under his feet, right? Come on, folks. By the way, Rochelle, I was going to use that little study that you sent yesterday on violence. It's really good. I may try to get to it tomorrow. I didn't mean to walk on you. Did you get to make your point? I'm sorry. I'm a loud man.
No, that's okay. But just real quick, one person I heard when they're talking about a way to salvation is J.D. Farag puts it in the ABCs to salvation. And I think, guys, everybody should be ready with something quick like that for when you do come across somebody who's ready to hear it, to admit they're a sinner, believe Jesus died for us, and call upon him. And I even have D, is to die to yourself and follow Christ.
So if I get it right, the new covenant is Jesus laid down his life for us. And part of the deal is we lay down his life, our life for him. And the life that he lives, because he's dead, he now has to live through me. And the life that I now live is him. So this covenant is a deal where it cost everybody something and everybody gained from it. That's what a covenant is, right? It's a new covenant. Come on, folks.
Right. And Jesus is the crucified king, and we can live forever with him. But in the meantime, if we really think that we can make it perfect here on earth without him, we're just going to be frustrated our whole life.
It's all about happiness and joy and all that, your best life. If folks, no wonder the gospel is, the current gospel makes no demands of believers. None. Come on in, Roger, then Joe.
Oh, I'm just taking it all in and enjoying all of it. It becomes clearer and clearer when you think about our current state in our culture in America, when the gospel has been so personalized, why a person says, well, I'm saved, I don't really care about anything else.
Not only that, I'm saved, I can do whatever I want.
Well, that too. Yeah, that too. That God forgives all. I'm saved. I don't need to worry about things. I'm going to heaven. But the culture can run amok, and I'm okay with that.
So. Amen. Because it's a kingdom principle. Unless we don't have that kingdom principle, we don't get it. Rod, Joe Allen, come on in. Man, there's only 6 minutes left. Hey, do Coach. This. Do this. Make me feel good. Say, Coach, this rocks. Man, I ain't never heard rocks, anything like Coach. This. I ain't never heard anything like this. Go ahead, Joe.
Coach, I know the past 5 years I've listened to you, and the biggest thing I've noticed about you is you're a word miser. Mm. So I try to mimic that a little bit, but my knowledge, I try to increase.
Yes, sir.
But I got a hang up of good news. Mm. To me, it's the truth.
Yeah, well, the truth is good news. Hey, Joseph, what's the good news? Well, the good news is the devil used to be in control and he ain't in control anymore. That's the good news. That's the good news. Not that you're saved, but you don't have to be controlled by the devil anymore. That's good news. Not that you got a lot of money in your bank account. Yeah, Rochelle. Can't hear you, dear. You're muted. You're muted.
Sorry. I think I don't know if anybody else is having this struggle with what you're saying. God does give us, we do have freedom over sin within ourselves, but to think that we are going to rule this earth, I don't know. I think you might be giving us, you're confused because the devil is in control here, or else that wouldn't have been temptation to Jesus on the mountain. I mean,
No, we've been given victory over him. He's not ruler anymore. What did Jesus say before he said, "Into thy hands I commend thy spirit"? He said what? "It is finished." What was finished? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. It's finished. Now, it's up to me.
The works of the devil aren't destroyed. I'm confused.
It's individual. It's individual. We have to walk it out individually. Your sin temptation is your own battle for victory is in your heart. And your job is to teach others that the battle over sin is in their heart. It's an individual kingdom is within each and every one of us. And you know this, folks, no matter what they tell us, if Christians rose up and demanded righteousness in government, does anybody think we wouldn't have it? Hey, Silver, would we have righteousness in government if people stood up and demanded it? Not that we can force righteousness on a nation. That's not what I'm talking about. But if every church in America stood up and demanded the end of abortion, would we have abortion?
Abortion would just disappear.
It would disappear. Why? Because it's a kingdom principle. It's a law, as Fred would say. It's a law. But the battle is in the individual heart, see? It's an individual victory over sin that we all get. And what we're supposed to do is when Jeff Nell gets victory over sin, he's supposed to teach it to Steve Deck. And Steve Deck gets victory over the sin, and he teaches it to Randy. And Randy gets victory over the sin, and he teaches it to Spencer. And Spencer gets victory over sin, and he teaches it to Rochelle. Go into all the world, the gospel. Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end. Don't you see the connection? You guys think I'm crazy? It's so obvious to me. It's an individual battle for a corporate kingdom. Help me, Randy.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. Coach, this what Paul taught. He said, let Christ be formed in you. Coach, when that's formed, he's ruling and reigning everywhere you go, everywhere you're taking him.
Amen. Amen. And your job is to take him to other people. Not to get him saved, but to expand the kingdom. Let him rule in another heart. Let him rule in another heart and rule in another heart and rule in another heart. And the next thing you know, he's ruling everywhere that you look. Not the devil.
And the devil will flee.
Yeah, if I made any enemies this morning, go ahead, Craig. Craig Mickle, come on in. Hey, listen, I don't care if you're my enemy. Get in line. Come on in, Craig. Can't hear you, Craig.
Sorry, Coach, you're driving. I tend to probably fall a little bit on Rochelle, probably more of an after-centered discussion. But the thing is if you think about the cross, okay, the cross was who had the keys to Hades and death? That was Satan. That's why in Revelation, when Jesus identifies himself, I have the keys to Hades and death. So right now, you know, we have to look at all this abortion, all the things, all the injustices that are going on in the world, okay, we have to account for who's doing that, because the majority of the world is not good. The majority of the world is evil.
But the devil doesn't have those keys anymore, brother.
Yeah, but okay, the keys of Hades, which is Sheol, which was the boundary of all souls that have been earthborn lived, okay, and it was death, okay, that the curse of death that was given because of the taking of sin. And the reason that God excluded man, and it's the reason why he sent Satan and Lucifer out of him, is he cannot coexist and be in the presence of evil without having to judge it because of his righteousness.
Okay. I'm with you. I'm with you, Craig. I'm with you. Listen, we're at the end. I'm going to leave you with this thought. God bless you. I love every one of you. No, that's not true. I don't love some of you. I don't even know you. But here's the truth. God rules in the hearts of men. And the more men who Christ rules in their hearts, the less influence Satan has. Satan has no power. He has no power over you and me unless we give it to him. And what if we taught other people not to give Satan that power? What if we understood that the kingdom of God is within us, and then we'll take it from in us out and expand the kingdom, advance the kingdom, and put all enemies under his feet, one heart at a time? I got to run. God bless you. See you tomorrow.